Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Let me tell you a secret. The most important foundational principle you need to know about money is the power of cash flow. Yes, it is really all about the money flow. So stay tuned to hear the 7 secrets to free up cash, why you need passive income, and how to get your cash flowing with our guest, Chris Miles.
You're listening to Millennial Money with award-winning money expert and serial entrepreneur, Shauna Compton Game, where we flip the script on the old school approach to everything your parents never taught you about money. Each week, Shauna creates a safe space by talking with special guests from around the world about money wellness, entrepreneurship, traveling like a boss, and what makes millennials tick. Unique stories, trailblazing perspectives, tips, tricks, and everything there is to know about money. Find it all here as you uncover your money story and unlock the life you want to live. Pretty cool, right? Here's Shauna, money expert, Indiana Hoosier, and burger aficionado.
Hey, I'm so excited that you decided to hit play on this episode. It is so great to have you here. I promise you this is going to be an amazing one. Because cash flow isn't something that is taught often when it comes to personal finance, but honestly, just think of where you'd be if you didn't have cash flow. It's how you pay for things. And as you go through life, it's really all about cash flow, how much money is coming in and how much money is going out. Thankfully, Chris, the cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor, is here to help you master the cash flow game. Chris is a leading authority teaching you how to get your money working for you today. He's an author, podcast host of the Chris Miles Money Show. He's been featured in US News, CNN Money, Entrepreneur on Fire, and has a proven reputation with his company, Money Ripples, getting his clients fast financial results. In fact, his personal clients have increased their cash flow by over $250 million in the last 11 years. His thoughts on creating an anti-financial plan will blow you away. So excited to share this conversation with you. I'm Shauna Compton Game, and this is Millennial Money. Well, Chris, welcome to the show. I'm so fortunate to have you here today. We're talking about a great topic, so thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's such a pleasure, Shauna.
You are a cash flow expert, which is music to my ears. And I also love this. You call yourself the anti-financial planner, which is something I can relate to. We'll get back to that. But it only seems fitting that we start by talking about cash flow. But I want to start maybe a little bit backwards. You know, what do you think people typically get wrong when it comes to cash flow? Like, why can't we figure this cash flow thing out?
Well, you know, not many people are really teaching about cash flow, right? I mean, almost everything you see out there in the media, and this is kind of, you know, where my background came to, because almost 20 years ago, I started as the mainstream traditional financial advisor, right? But you were always taught and trained to tell people how to grow money over the long haul, right? Never over the short term, but it's always over the long haul. But nothing about how to actually generate cash flow now, or how to even free up cash flow, you know, because there's not like a product you can sell in the financial world that says, hey, you know what? I'm going to help you figure out how to, like, you know, rearrange some of the things of your expenses, right? Or increase your passive income. Like, there's no incentive there because there's no financial company involved to sell a product. So usually that gets overlooked and missed. And that's, I tell you, that is the number one cause to the wealth growth effect, right? Is that cash flow has to be first. You have to have way more income coming in than expenses, and you don't have to live on rice and beans to do it.
Yeah. And that is definitely the message that you hear a lot of times, right? That you have to be in that sort of cut everything out, very minimalist, can't do anything, can't have anything mode. And that also puts people like in a state of panic because nobody really wants to live their life that way, or at least I don't. I mean, some minimalism probably good. But but yeah, I totally agree. I think it's really interesting that the financial industry, I mean, if you just think of it like any other industry, I mean, it's there to obviously make money off your money or sell you a product or something like that. And some of these lessons about cash flow, just there, you're right, there isn't a product. So nobody's talking about it. But, you know, you brought up about passive income. You know, what role does passive income play in the idea of like making money work for us?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, I get so many people all the time reaching out saying, Chris, okay, here's the thing. I'm basically asset rich and cash poor, right? Like I've got anywhere from several hundred thousands to even into the millions of dollars, and it doesn't equate to any income. And even worse, they said, hey, I even followed, you know, like guys like Dave Ramsey, you know, I followed them and I lived on a budget, paid off everything, including my house. And I'm still not financially free because I still have expenses and I don't have income. Like, how do I change this from just growing money, compounding money, which is what we're always taught to do, is save and compound over a slow, long, arduous period, right?
Yeah.
How do we get to actually generate cash flow? And that is the key difference, right? It's like, how do we get that to happen? You know, how do we start looking at things outside of Wall Street, you know, outside of the typical stuff that you see that actually generates income on a regular basis so that you work because you want to, not because you have to, that you can actually enjoy your life, be with your kids while they actually want to be with you, you know, those kind of things. You know, that's the kind of stuff that often we don't see. And now I'm in my 40s, I'm seeing it because I've got teenagers, right? But, you know, before, you know, like my 20s and 30s, I was just like, hey, how do I even survive? You know, like, how do I get there?
Right.
And I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many people that are like, they're like in their 40s, 50s or 60s. They're like, dadgummit, like if I had known this when I was in my 20s or 30s, this would have been a game changer for me. I would be way wealthier today knowing this stuff than just trying to save it in my 401ks or IRAs and getting the match, which really isn't that much anyways, and doing that traditional stuff. It hadn't worked for them for decades. What makes us think that the next generation with the millennials and the Gen Xers, what makes us think it's going to work for them too?
Right. And I like that the younger generations are kind of saying, like raising their hand and going, wait a minute, we don't want that same work 30 years at a company, just try to put money in a 401k and like cross our fingers that we're going to have enough money to live our life. Like, let's shake things up. I think that's what's really exciting about millennials and younger generations. I mean, even Gen Xers to some extent could have that viewpoint, but just looking at things differently.
Exactly. It needs to be different because you don't want to have the same result that your parents got, right? Like look at them. I mean, even the ones that say that they are okay, they're banking on Social Security. They're banking on that the government's going to somehow bail them out to some level. And the thing I've noticed is this, I like evidence. I like to know that things work. And that's what happened when I was in my 20s as a financial advisor. I said, wait a minute, I'm seeing this happen over the years. Like I'm watching people that have had decades of advice and then they're getting to this retirement age and it's not enough. And it wasn't that they didn't save enough. They saved exactly what they were told to save. Mm-hmm. But the strategies, the way, the means to get there didn't work. It's just like today. It's the same equivalent that I'm seeing now. Like it's been almost 20 years, right? Same equivalent I'm seeing today is people are talking about the whole FIRE concept, right? Financially yeah. independent, retire early. And I'm totally all in favor of that concept. In fact, I even joined the Facebook group. I was so much in favor of it. You know, like I was like, cool, people just like me that I actually did it. I've done it twice. You know, like I did it first when I was 28 and I did it again when I was 39, you know? And I got in that group and I was shocked. Like these people were buying into the same old crap, the same strategies that their parents bought into that didn't work for them. They're like, yeah, well, if I put in the market, and especially if you've only seen the stock market in the last decade or so, right. It's been up for 12 straight years. Understand that in history, it has not done that. We have not right. seen 12 up years in a row of the stock market. Like that's huge. Like it's almost always the pattern is 2 years up, 1 year down. So just yeah. know that the more years we see up in the market, imagine what the down years are going to do. And there's so many people that think, I'm already there. I'm financially independent because I just have to live off 4%, which is not enough. I found that out 20 years ago as a financial advisor that 4% was enough. And people are still teaching that crap. You know, it's like 4% is not even going to help your money last long enough with inflation, especially. You need to live on no more than 2 or 3% a year. But people think they're like, oh, I'm financially independent. Oh, really? Is that going to happen when the market turns? Probably not. You're going to be just as broke as your parents were. You're just a really good Dave Ramsey advocate follower. You know, that's it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a title I want to have, but that's a whole other episode in and of itself. Okay.
That was a little bit of a rant. I apologize. No, I've pent this up for 20 years. So.
I love it because I think it's eye-opening. It's at least, I hope that somebody listening is thinking like, okay, well, how do I think about things differently? So like, what are some of the passive income or, you know, cash flow generating ideas that we can think about incorporating?
Yeah. You know, like, so this is what happened with me. Like, you know, 2005, you know, I was the financial advisor. I'd been that financial advisor for almost 4 years. Right. So I started right after 9/11, you know, after the Twin Towers and everything, you know? And, you know, I like evidence. I like to see that what I'm teaching works, but I started to have some holes in it. I started to see that people weren't really as good off as they were. And that the stock market, for example, only averaged 8%. You know, if that, right. you know, that's before fees come out, right? In fact, the last 30 years has been 8.3%, which is high for a 30-year average. It's actually just a few years ago was about 7.5%, you know, so it just depends on what you're looking at. Well, you know, I remember the end of that year, I had a friend who I trained to be a financial advisor that quit to go do real estate investing. And I called him up because I'm like, all right, we'll see if he's broke yet, you know, because, you know, you see, I had a little bit of an ego. I'm like, all right, yeah, we've heard people go try to do their own thing. And you know, he's going to come running back to want to be a financial advisor again because, you know, hey, financial advisor is the epitome of wealth, right?
Right, right, exactly. Know?
Just see, and this is the key because we got in this conversation. He said it's only been 4 months that he broke off and he started doing partnering up with real estate with his dad. And I said, well, how are things going? He said, oh man, it's awesome. Like my dad's already doubled his income as a professor at the local university. I'm like, wait, in 4 months, he's doubled his income? Yeah, just with the real estate we've been doing. I'm like, come on, that's quote unquote too good to be true, right? You know, and he's like, man, it's working. And so we got in this argument, what's better, stocks or real estate? And finally, he just said, Chris, let me ask you a question. How many of your clients are actually financially free where they don't worry about money? Not retired, but they're not worrying about money. I said, well, none. They're all worrying about money because they turn on CNN, the news, they freak out, you know, so nobody's free. He's like, well, good job, Chris. Way to go. How about this, Chris? If anybody's got this figured out, it should be you guys as financial advisors. So how many of you as financial advisors are financially free, not off the commissions you're earning, but actually doing the investments you've been recommending, investing in mutual funds, basically? And I said, well, let me think. None. Maybe this one guy is. And I found out that one guy wasn't either later on. He was actually broke as everybody else. He just all flash, all show, right? And he's like, well, there's your problem. And I was like, okay, well, tell me the answer. He's like, I won't tell you the answer. And finally, I convinced him to say, hey, you got me to admit something's wrong here. Give me something. So first you had me read the book, Who Took My Money by Robert Kiyosaki. It's a lesser known Rich Dad, Poor Dad book, right?
Yeah.
To sum it up, mutual funds suck. There you go.
there's the cliff notes.
There's the cliff notes, right? For, you know, saved you 3 hours on audiobook because I'm usually an audiobook consumer, you know? And then the second thing he said, he's like, well, listen to this local radio show. This is before podcasts, but basically listen to these people that are talking about like real estate investing. And that's kind of the path I went down. And in fact, later on, just by applying that, I was able, through streams of income in my business, as well as with real estate, I was able to become financially independent later that year in 2006, that summer. Granted, I had a low cost of living. I had two young kids. So like, it wasn't hard to hit my number, right? But you know, I did it almost what felt like accidentally because it was so much easier. So going back to your question about what did I do, right? Well, two main places you can go to, which is places that financial advisors won't recommend. You know, one is if you have a business, look for ways to develop residual income streams through your business. If you've got that, or if you have a business idea, look for ways to generate there. Now, granted, that's not exactly, you know, it's going to be active income, especially when you start. But if you can develop ways to get it to pay you residually, and I separate residual and passive. Residual is like passive income in business, or passive income is like passive income in investments, right, with your money.
Right.
But if you've got a business, that could be one of your easiest, fastest places to go. That's what helped me the first time to become financially independent was I actually started generating streams of income where I wasn't doing the work. Like I had other people doing stuff. I was either referring it out or I was leveraging systems. I mean, now it's even easier. We've got like online stuff you can do. You can have like regular traffic coming in with, you know, SEO or whatever it might be, right? Or paid ad. You don't even have to do paid ads a lot of times. A lot of times it can be organic and you can start earning money while you sleep, literally. You know, so that's, if you're a business owner, that's the, one of the first places I would look at that no financial advisor can touch, because that could be potentially almost an infinite rate of return on your money. Second place would be looking at like, you know, other types of investing. So like real estate is an easy one, but it's not. So there's lots of opportunity there, but I'll tell you, the worst way to do real estate investing is looking in your backyard to try to buy a property. That's what I almost see everybody do. And they screw up big time, especially where I get clients that come to me from the West Coast. You know, like, I mean, you're in California. You get this. Like, you know, I see people like, I had somebody just recently. They're like, yeah, I've got this property. It's got 700,000 of equity in it. I'm like, great. What's your monthly cash flow? Like your net profit? $200 a month.
Right.
I'm like, oh, dude, sell that. Like, get rid of it now. But it was our first property. We're kind of attached. I'm like, that attachment's not worth it. That 700,000 you can take out east, like from the central states on east in certain parts, especially the southeast or maybe Midwest. And I'm telling you, like, I usually look for, at least for single family homes, a 12% rate of return, cash on cash, meaning that if I have $100,000, I expect to make $1,000 a month net profit. And I don't manage the property myself. So he was making $200 a month managing the property himself. I could take that same 700,000, make at least 6 to 7,000 a month net profit off that money and not manage it at all. Like I have somebody else managing the property for me. It's totally hands off, much more passive or kind of semi-passive, because you still have to go leveraging loans, you got to still apply and buy it. And there's a little bit of work up front. But after that, there's not a whole lot you do. It's kind of like watching grass grow. You know, it's kind of boring. And I'll tell you, I've learned, you know, that's the thing I learned as a mistake from my 20s is that I try to gamble a little bit too much, which is why, you know, I end up going over $1 million in debt during the last recession. And I had to dig out of that. Didn't go bankrupt, but was pretty dang close. Had to dig out of over $1 million debt hole. Was able to retire again in 2016. I learned boring is sexy. Like the sexy is just, you know, they pay you regular income every month. You can almost count on it. You know, it's there. You know, it's not like I have to gamble. You know, I got like a little bit of Bitcoin, but I'm not betting on anything for financial freedom with that.
Right.
Because that's just speculative crap. You know, like that's just fun. You know, that's like going to Vegas basically, but it's not something that's sustainable, you know? But when I can actually get something that pays me like a rental real estate where I don't have to pay, touch it, or two, like it could be a fund, you know, like there's funds that I know that I have clients going into, they're paying 10 or 11% a year, you know, and you just put money in and you're done. There's syndications, you know, where you might partner into a multifamily where you're buying into an apartment complex or self-storage or assisted living, you know, which that got a massive hit last year. And now there's opportunities in that arena, right? You know, especially as COVID starts to die off a little bit more. So all these kind of things, I mean, there's so much you can do. There's oil and gas. I mean, there's so many places, but the key is really finding the right strategies that match up with your goals and really match up with what you actually enjoy, you know, so it doesn't feel like it's a job, even if it is passive.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. "Talkin' Money" under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters, and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like $1 million wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM. We have an Ask Shauna. This one comes from Brianna. And Brianna says, "Hey, Shauna, I've been a longtime listener all the way back to 2017. And I can tell you that I have never missed an episode. I love all of the guests that you have on the show. There's such a variety of topics and different ways of thinking. And it has definitely changed my relationship with money. So I can't thank you enough. In fact, I have been able to pay off debt, build an emergency fund, even save to buy my first house, which is a huge milestone because I will be the first person in my family to own a house. And I can literally say that it has been because of this show. So I would encourage anybody else who has been listening to even check out episodes that maybe you might not think are good episodes for you. There is always something really special in every episode that you can take away with and impart in your own financial journey. So I just can't thank you enough. But on to my question. So I was having a conversation with my sister and I was trying to give her some great tips, but it kind of got me thinking that maybe I need to think about this a little bit differently myself. So I know that typically it's not a good idea to take money out of a retirement account. And I've been thinking about this when I am approaching buying my first house, because I know I could take $10,000 out of my IRA penalty free. And I know you've talked about this on the show a lot, but I kind of go back to all of that negativity that I hear around it. And I start to feel really judgmental about even considering this idea. And I was having the conversation with my sister and I just didn't know how to think about it. So I really wanted to hear your thoughts because I appreciate your wisdom so much. So thank you again for the show. It means the world to me. Brianna, thank you. Wow. Listening all the way back since 2017. That makes me really excited, but also slightly terrorized. Some of those early episodes are a little rough, as anything is, right? When you're starting something new. In fact, I was talking about this with Jeff, and he was encouraging me that if you go back to listen to almost anybody's podcast, early episodes are probably a little rocky. So I appreciate you hanging in there with me. And it's certainly what I try and do in every episode. I hope if you can walk away with one thing or even like half a nugget, then I feel like it's been time well served. And my whole idea is that you think about listening to this show as like a giant financial literacy think tank, and that I'm trying to bring so many different topics to you so that we can really change the way we think about money. So Brianna, I'm so excited that you echo that back to me, because that means that it actually is resonating. So thanks so much. And this is a great question. And I'm so excited about your financial growth. You did that, not me. So I don't want to take more credit than I certainly deserve. Like, you made the changes and that is amazing. So no matter what changes you've made, if you're listening to this show, like, I want you to really applaud yourself, because that is amazing. It's really hard to change behavior, specifically when it comes to money. But you bring up a good question. Should you or should you not take money out of a retirement account? And I know that there's a lot of articles, blogs, advice that you should never do it. And I understand that, because when you're taking money out of your retirement account, you're lowering that amount that your money then compounds on top of, right? Remember, one of the beautiful things about investing is that if you have a long time horizon, money compounds, it stacks and stacks and stacks upon itself. And we've had like 12 amazing years in the stock market. It's not going to continue like this forever. It's just history if you look back at history. But the last 12 years have been really great. So you've got a lot of stacking of money. And so if you take money out, you lower that base that money is compounding upon. I hope that makes sense. But there are some reasons and times when you need to take money out of your 401k or your IRA or your Roth. If you're in a financial situation where you can't pay your bills, or maybe something unexpected has happened, maybe there's a health issue, sometimes your retirement account is the only place you can go to take money out of. And so there shouldn't be judgment around that. There really just shouldn't be. Maybe it's not the best thing traditional finance-wise, but who cares? You've got to pay your bills. You've got to survive. So in those circumstances, absolutely, right? And yes, you may pay tax on that money, and yes, you may have a penalty, but again, sometimes this is just the way life has to go. I've had to take money out of my own retirement account a couple of times, and it just happens, and it's okay. And I want you to know that it's okay. It's certainly, if you're looking to take out $10,000 from your IRA to buy your first house to put towards a down payment, you're not going to have that 10% penalty. You are going to have to pay tax on that money. So I just want you to be aware of that. But sometimes that's the only way you can afford to buy a house. So I think you just need to look at what is important to you. If you're young enough and you take money out, you have a long time to put money back in. You have a long time to ramp that back up. So I would say if you're going to take money out for the down payment, like make sure that when you buy the house and you have that monthly payment for your house, that still affords you the ability to continue contributing to your retirement account. So I don't want you to sacrifice one for the other. I hope that makes sense. But you're right. We need to change our thinking about this because sometimes we have to go in debt. Sometimes we have to take money from places we don't necessarily want to take. And sometimes we're taking money out to better our situation like you're doing. And so I think that's okay. We need to change the dialogue around this. Not everything that we do with money is negative. Not everything has to be bad. So Brianna, amazing question. I'm so glad that you brought this up. And I'm so glad that you're thinking about this idea of reframing when it comes to money. I think we all need to do that. So if you have an Ask Shauna question just like Brianna, you can go to the show notes. There's a quick link there. You can even ask me to leave your name anonymous. I'm more than happy to do so, but I would love to answer your question. And I know everybody else is eager as well. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide DeleteMe with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have DeleteMe. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. DeleteMe is not just a one-time service. DeleteMe is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for DeleteMe, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your DeleteMe plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
All right, let's jump back into the episode with Chris because he still has some amazing gems to share with you. Here we go. So how do you do that? Like, how do you figure out, because there are so many different options, like how do you figure out what would align with your goals?
You know, the first question I always ask people is your goal cash flow, like a quick cash flow, or you're more focused on growth of your money? Because some people might say, you know, I don't care about the cash flow now. Like, I just want that money to grow and then eventually become cash flow later on, right? Which is fine. You know, that's perfectly okay. Well, if you're going more for growth, well, that's where maybe like some of those syndications, like those multifamily deals might be a good option. You know, I had somebody ask me today about their oil and gas fund. They're like, yeah, it doesn't pay a lot short term. I'm like, no, it's when they sell it in like 5, 6, 7 years, that's when you make the bigger money. So maybe that's the option you go with, right? So there's different plays. You know, there's even in the real estate world, there's different, you know, some that pay you more in cash up front, while others say we'll pay you less up front, but we'll pay you more on the back end. If you're more of a cash flow, and that's more the way I lean, like I like immediate results, right? I know that if something goes wrong, like for me, like I don't mind having some of the longer term growth plays, but for me, like I know that if I get immediate cash flow, like that's mine. It's not like, hey, someday I might get blank. It's like when people are like, yeah, I'm getting rich off Bitcoin. It's like, yeah, well, you're not rich until you sell, you know? So chill out, you know, when you sell it, then you're rich, you know, like,
right.
But until the money's in your hands, you're not really rich, right? So same thing. It's like, okay, do I want cash flow now? To me, I think the best one that has the best balance between cash flow and growth is, like I mentioned, doing like turnkey real estate where you're hands off, but you're making money, because not only do you make the cash flow month to month, but then you also make the growth. I'll give you an example. I have a property I bought in Memphis exactly 3 years ago this month. You know, I bought it for $134,000. Now my down payment with closing costs and everything was like $32,000, but my cash flow on that property right now is $400 a month, you know, or almost $5,000 a year. You know, just that alone, I mean, I'm already about 14-15% net cash return, right?
Yeah.
The cool thing is since then, that property now is worth at least, and I'm sure based on whatever day it is, it's probably more, but it's worth at least $170,000 now. Now you'd think, okay, yeah, sure, Chris, that's $35,000. But understand, I put $32,000 into it. So when you have appreciation, especially when I put, say, 20% down that property, right? Any appreciation I get is a 5x multiplier because I use leverage. I didn't use all my money. I used debt, you know, which can be great when you use it correctly. So, you know, if the property appreciates 5%, you don't make 5%, you make 25%, because that $32,000, remember, I've been making, you know, I guess total cash flow, if you add it all up over the last 3 years, I've probably made about $11,000 net profit.
Right.
But on top of that, the tenant also paid down my mortgage by over $3,000. So just from that alone, even if the property didn't appreciate, I still made about $14,000 in 3 years on $32,000. So that's almost, that's about a 40% plus return in 3 years. I have appreciation, right? Now that's $170,000, you know, now I've got an extra $36,000 a gain there, which is over 100% return. So now my total return is nearly 150% in 3 years. Do the average on that. That's pretty dang good, you know? and then the nice thing is, like, it's almost the point, even though the cash flow is still nice, if that keeps appreciating or it gets to a point where there's enough equity, eventually I would sell it off and buy two houses with the price of that one. And then my cash flow is even more when it does it. So it almost like creates its own babies, you know?
Right.
So
yeah.
That's the thing that's so awesome. So, I mean, again, everybody has their own, you know, comfort level. I have one client, he just retired, you know, from Washington State, you know, and he's wanting to do properties, but then properties, there are not a ton of them out there. He had to be picky. So he's, you know, doing a little bit, he's buying a fourplex, but then he's also putting $700,000 into a fund that's going to average about 11%. And that's for him. He just needs cash flow. And he's like, I just need my $1 million to make me $100,000 a year. I'm like, well, as long as we make at least 10%, which is not hard, voila, done, check.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Next, moving on. You know, that's kind of what we look at. It's such a different mentality. In fact, that's the thing that blew my mind as a financial advisor when I left that world in 2006 was, wait a minute, I've been telling people to live on less than the interest so they don't outlive their money. But if cash flow really is the focus, like I said, like even if you made, you know, 10% on your money, right? You have $100,000 that pays you $10,000 a year or about $800 a month. That's way better than living on 2 or 3% of $100,000. Because 2 or 3% of $100,000, right?
Yeah.
Is only like $2,000 or $3,000 a year. Same thing with my client that has $1 million. You know, like for him, if he did the traditional financial planner model, he would have to take out only about maybe at most $25,000 to $30,000 a year and then get taxed on that. So he's maybe walking away with $15,000 to $20,000 a year after taxes, right? He's a millionaire. Living below the poverty line. Does that make sense? I mean, that's ridiculous, right? You're like a broke millionaire. But if that million can generate at least $100,000 a year, now he's in the six figures. That's a completely different life. And by the way, especially if you do it in the right places, some of them even have tax advantages where you don't pay much in taxes, if at all. So that's the beautiful thing, is that there's so many ways to do it. And once I had my mind open up to it, it was like, screw everything else. Get away from, you know, any of the traditional financial planning stuff that financial advisors offer, because they don't have anything good that gives you hope. It's really kind of a hopeless situation doing the traditional stuff.
Yeah, it's just like, it feels like bad news. You're giving someone bad news after bad news.
It is. That's what kind of depressed me. I had to manipulate the numbers to say, well, maybe if I make inflation only 2%, oh, now they got more money. That's better. You know, which is not realistic. Inflation is way higher than 2%, especially now, right? So yeah, when you're doing that kind of stuff and trying to manipulate numbers as a financial advisor just to make people feel good, it's not cool. I mean, if you want to retire in 20 years on a $100,000 a year lifestyle, I've done the numbers. You've got to save up well over $100,000 a year to do that. It's crazy. You have to save up more than what you want to live on to retire in 20 years. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And that's just unrealistic for so many people. But so I've got a question. So how much, because I would imagine somebody listening is thinking this, like, how much cash flow do you need to have to create cash flow? Like, do we need to have just like a ton of money saved in order to start, you know, investing in some of these things that generate cash flow?
Not at all. No, I mean, I've got kids of mine that like little kids that actually want to start investing things that generate cash flow. I mean, you could start. I mean, there's a fund that I refer to my clients to that they take a minimum of $100. There's another one that takes a minimum of $1,000, but one actually only requires $100 to get started. So you can start with very little and at least get that ball rolling.
Yeah. Okay. So that's not a barrier to entry, because I think a lot of times when we hear about even these returns sometimes of different cash flow opportunities, it's like, well, we put up that blockade of thinking, well, that can't be us because, you know, we're just like trying to make ends meet here and not a lot of cash. Like, how could we possibly make that happen?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. Now, if you're trying to buy a real estate property, you're probably going to want $25,000 or $30,000 to get started, you know. But yeah, if you're looking at least to start somewhere and do something, you know, it doesn't require a lot at all. And like I mentioned, if you're a business owner, you might be able to do things with no money out of pocket. It's just purely of setting up the right systems and tools and processes in place to allow money to keep coming in, even if you're not working.
Yeah. So going back to rental real estate, because I think that's something I've certainly heard from a lot of listeners, something that they're at least interested in. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about the plus sides of that, but are there any downsides to investing in rental real estate? Or like, what are some of the things you maybe need to watch out for?
Oh, there's always downsides to anything, right? And then the best thing you do, well, here's one thing, one philosophy that's out there that's completely 100% false that you should remove from your vocabulary, right? The quote is high risk, great high returns is completely bogus. That is something that's only been taught to us by financial institutions who want us to take all the risks while they take none of them, right? That's why financial advisors teach it, because that's what the institutions teach them to teach you, you know? And so when I look at risk, I try to figure out how can I lower my risk as much as possible to get the highest return? And that's what real investors do. Real investors say, let's mitigate this risk to as close to zero as possible. So like in rental real estate, like I mentioned, if you're just trying to buy your own property, it's scary. And honestly, there could be a lot of risk. You could end up buying something that doesn't positive cash flow. You may be a crappy landlord. That's not a way to go, in my opinion. I found out I was a crappy landlord, which is part of the reason why I lost money in the last recession, you know? You know, those kind of things, you know, if you don't know if you're even buying it at the right value. So that's one of the key things you got to look out for. If you go more the turkey route, the risk would be, do you find the right kind of turnkey company? Because there's several companies out there, many of them that are friends of mine that I know out there, that some do great jobs while others do okay. Like they're just mediocre, right? So you have to be careful of that. But I mean, there's plenty of companies out there that'll say, hey, you buy the property, we'll help you manage it. We'll make sure that everything's taken care of. You just have to buy it. But even then, you want to make sure you're still scrutinizing and make sure that company has good, consistent results. I saw somebody who used a turnkey company. They said, yeah, like I'm using this one. And there's a popular one too. And they're like, yeah, it's a pretty popular one out there. I'm like, great. Well, what's your net profit? What's your rate of return? 6%. I'm like, ew, gross. That's horrible. Now to them, that was awesome, right? Heck, even when I have my international clients, like from Australia, they can only make 2 or 3% if they're lucky on their properties. So for them, 6% is awesome. But I'm like, no, like this should be at least double digit. I mean, unless you're looking at a fourplex and maybe it might be 9%, you know, or something like that, 8% net return.
Right.
Still, you should be getting at least 8 to 10%, if not 10%+ on these properties. So it does matter. Sometimes it's just, they're not in the right areas. Maybe the market's not good where they are now, but might be later. That's why it's good to create those contacts, get to know these different companies and really research them before you just try to jump in and buy from them.
Yeah. I like that advice. Definitely research for sure. And I want to go back, as we kind of wrapped up, you talked about retiring twice, 28, 39. And then in the middle there was maybe some lessons that you learned. So if you could shortcut for us listening, like what do you think are some of the most impactful money lessons that you think we all should know?
Well, I mentioned boring is sexy. That's a huge one, right? I mean, you want to make sure you're going for something that's consistent and paying. You know, I would add to that, that, you know, if you're looking at outside investments, you know, even if you're looking at something like a fund, or you're looking at someone who's saying, hey, let's do a syndication where we pool our money to go invest in something. You're just putting money into it. Really, really question about their track record. Question about whether they got their own money in the deal. Because if they won't put their own money in, why should you, right? You know, those kind of things that you want to be looking into. I think the biggest thing I learned was stay away from speculation and hot tips. Because, you know, like the thing that got me the worst was, you know, I realized that if I was banking on appreciation, because 2006 real estate was hot, it was appreciating kind of like it is now. But the problem was that there was appraisal fraud, there was overbuilding, which none of that stuff we're seeing today, right? Like we're not seeing the same conditions that we saw before. This is not a bubble at all for real estate. But back then it was like, it was just ridiculous. And the lending, I mean, the lending, they would give anybody a loan. Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
Do you have a pulse? Here's your loan.
Pretty much. Yeah. You could do stated income. I did stated income loans. I could say, hey, I make $25,000 a month if I was making $5,000, and it wouldn't matter. They wouldn't question it as long as, you know, you had a good credit score. And that was wrong. You know, that created a massive bubble. And that's the thing you should watch out for is these kind of things where it seems like everybody can make money doing something. This is why I see like stock market. Everybody's like, oh, everybody can make money in the stock market, or Bitcoin's the way to go. Crypto's the way to go. Like when you know that your classmates from high school are saying, and they were the idiots too, right? They're the ones who are like, hey, who wants to go in with me to buy some Bitcoin? Or who wants, hey, I just made a bunch of money doing stocks. Or celebrities are telling you how they made all their money in stocks or whatever kind of investment they did. When you start hearing that kind of stuff become mainstream, that's the time to not invest in those things. Because I was doing that with real estate. I was banking on appreciation. I was like, well, hey, if I can make 10%, I should buy a bigger house because then I'll make more money. Because a $500,000 house will make me 50, or a $100,000 house will make me 10. Let's go big. And then I went wrong. You know, instead of going big, I went home, you know? And that's the thing you got to be careful of. So stay away from the stuff that's all hyped up and everybody's talking about. In fact, the things that people are saying, ooh, watch out for this. We're in a bubble. Like when you hear people all the time saying real estate's in a bubble, that's when you know it's not. When the mainstream people are saying, oh, real estate's scary. It's just like before. No, it's not like before. But I'll tell you what is like before is I've seen many, many cycles of the stock market, and I've seen when it gets overbought and overvalued, and it's there. It's already there right now. So, you know, be careful. Good if you've made money in the last decade, but, you know, be careful in the future because there's no guarantee that's going to keep going that direction.
Such great advice. Well, Chris, I feel like we could talk forever. You just have such amazing tips and definitely have me thinking different about cash flow. I'd love for you to tell everyone listening, if they want to connect with you and learn more how to work with you, where do they go?
Yeah, two places you can go to. One, you can follow my podcast, The Chris Miles Money Show. I know it's a hard title to remember, but you got to just remember my name at least, The Chris Miles Money Show. Check that out, especially if you already listen to podcasts like this one, you know. And then if you ever want to reach out to me, you can always go to my website, moneyripples.com.
I've done close to 675 podcast episodes in the last 6 years, but what Chris just shared really put a fire under me. There's power in creating cash flow, and I love that he said you can create cash flow without a huge investment. Why don't we teach this? Think how powerful it would have been to learn about cash flow in school and really understand how it works. But the best part is, it is not too late now. That's what I'm clinging to. And my wheels are spinning. So if you enjoyed this episode, take a listen also to How to Build Passive Income Right Now with Rachel Richards from last year. I will link it in the show notes. That's another great episode if you're really interested in passive income. So if you enjoyed this, do me a favor, share this episode with friends and family members, anybody that you want to get thinking about this idea of cash flow. And as always, you can find all the links to Chris and the episode sponsors right in the show notes. Be sure to follow Millennial Money Podcast in any podcast player you're listening to so you never miss an episode.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Before you go, we want to say thanks for listening to this episode of Millennial Money. For all the links, tags, and ads you've heard on today's episode, check out the show notes or go to mmoneypodcast.com, where you'll find more episodes to share with your friends. While you're at it, leave us a review and make sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you don't miss out on all the money tips and tricks that will take you from a millennial regular to a millennial money expert. See you back here in a few days with a fresh new episode.
Whatever you're saving up for, a CD from Sandy Spring Bank lets you grow your savings at a guaranteed rate. Right now, earn interest at 4.5% APY on an 8-month CD special or 4.25% APY on a 14-month CD special. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com/CD specials. Minimum opening deposit to earn the annual percentage yield is $500 for the 8-month CD special and $2,500 for the 14-month CD special. Member FDIC.